Well, good morning. It's great to see you all this morning. I hope you're here this morning to encounter God in a real and a wonderful way. I know that's what I'm here for. And I pray this morning that you too are here to get something new and something fresh from our Lord Jesus as we seek to spend time worshipping him this morning. Hopefully you've all read the words that are on the screen. Yours, O Lord, is the greatness, the power, the glory, the victory, and the majesty. Everything in the heavens and on earth is yours, O Lord, and this is your kingdom. We adore you as the one who is over all things. Let me use a song from Graham Kendrick this morning as our opening prayer, and then the worship group are going to lead us in a few songs. Father God, we worship you. Make us part of all you do. As you move amongst us now, we worship you. Jesus King, we worship you. Help us listen now to you. As you move among us now, we worship you. Spirit pure, we worship you. With your fire, our zeal renew. As you move among us now, we come to worship you. Thank you, guys.
Far and near, I hear the call. Worship him. Your name on high.
To worship, Lord. Here we are to bow down. And here we are this morning to say that you are our God. Father, meet with us this morning as we meet with you. Amen. please take your seats. You've seen notices, those that get them by email, or you've picked them up at the back. The only one thing I need to just remind you of, I'm sure you don't need reminding, if you've had a letter, then you potentially or definitely need to be here Saturday morning for our safeguarding training. So if you've had a letter about safeguarding, then you know who you are and you need to be here Saturday morning. 4th of November, our safeguarding training, that's come around really quick, hasn't it? We've been talking about it for a long time, but it's finally here. So Saturday morning, please be here prompt for 9:30 for all of those that need to be involved in the important talk of safeguarding. I'm going to show you a video now. A really popular story that we've all done if you've been through, in my day, Sunday school. But nowadays, probably you'll do, or maybe talk about in Sunday social at some time.
Stories of the Bible. Noah and the flood. This is Noah.
Hey!
Noah was a good man who tried to do the right thing.
Yeah!
But in the time when Noah lived, he was the only man on earth who was doing the right thing. All the other people on earth were doing evil things and hurting each other. This made God very sad. So God said that he was going to send a flood to the earth that would destroy every living thing on earth because he was sorry he ever made them. But God decided to save Noah and his family. God told Noah to build a boat and fill it with two of every kind of animal and bird.
Colored, bird, moth, okay.
Noah did just that, and then Noah and his whole family boarded the boat and waited for the flood to come. The rain fell hard for 40 days and 40 nights.
Water!
Water covered the whole earth, and the boat floated safely on the surface. Water covered even the highest mountains on earth, but Noah and his family were saved. God remembered Noah and all the animals on the boat. God sent a wind to blow across the earth, and the flood began to go away. After 5 months, the boat came to rest on a mountaintop. A few months later, the other mountains could be seen. 40 days later, Noah opened a window and released a raven. The bird flew back and forth until the flood had dried up. He also sent a dove out to see if it could find dry ground, but the dove couldn't find a place to land because there was still water on the ground. So the dove returned to the boat.
Oh, hello again.
After another 7 days, Noah sent the dove out again. This time, it came back with an olive leaf.
Oh, thank you.
So Noah knew that the floodwaters were almost gone. A week later, he sent the dove out again, and it didn't come back. So many months after the flood began, Noah opened the covering of the boat and saw that the ground was drying. He waited 2 more months, and at last, the earth was dry. Then God said to Noah, "Leave the boat, all of you. Release the animals so they can be fruitful and multiply throughout the earth."
Okay!
So Noah, his family, and all the animals finally left the boat.
See ya!
Noah built an altar to the Lord to make a sacrifice to God. God was pleased with Noah's offering and said to himself that he would never again destroy every living thing on earth. God blessed Noah and his sons and promised them that he would never send another flood. He gave them the rainbow in the sky as a sign of this promise to Noah, his family, and all of mankind.
It's a good story, isn't it? And we're still reminded, aren't we, every time we see a rainbow of the the promise that God actually made. And God promised Noah that he would never again destroy the entire world. And you know, when God makes his promises, God keeps his promises. And for Noah, it was all about new beginnings. And when we say yes to Jesus, we get a new start, don't we? And there's a verse there. Anyone who belongs to Christ has become a new person. The old life has gone. The new life has begun. And when we say yes to Jesus, we get a new life. We get a new start. Just like Noah and his family got a new start and could repopulate the earth and it could start all over again. And that's what the rainbow reminds us of. And I want to give you some excitement this morning, young people. Today is a new start for you guys, because today you are going to be utilizing the new space that has been prepared for you. And for the first time, you youngsters, when you go out to Sunday social in a minute, are not going that way. You're going that way and up. Okay, to enjoy the new space that is being prepared. So we have a new space that is taking shape. And it's great to see, if you've been up there, to see some of the stuff that is happening. It's not all here yet, but we're getting there. New tech is beginning to arrive. Tablets are here. Xbox is here. Switch is here. How exciting. So you guys are going to have a great time as you go upstairs and as you race cars around tracks and as you kick balls around a football field and do all the other great things that you're going to do. Of course, really, really, really important, and in many respects more important than the tech that's going to be up there, although some of you may not realise it yet, is the Bibles that we have that are going to be accessible to all. We've got story Bibles. We've got comic Bibles. We have got all sorts of Bibles for you guys to engage in. It's going to be really exciting. And of course, we have leaders and helpers that are also really excited about some of the things that are going to be happening. So I want to pray with you guys this morning before you go. And then you can go and experience and have some fun in the new space and see what the leaders have got for you this morning. All right, let me pray with you and then you can go. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this new opportunity, this new space that we have to enjoy. Lord, thank you for all the things that you have provided for us. Thank you for Noah and the story that reminds us of your provision, of your promises, and that you never ever fail us. Thank you, Lord, that you can give us a new start. And this morning, as our youngsters go to Sunday social, be with them. Give them a great time this morning as they actually learn something new about you in all the activities that they're going to be involved in. Bless the leaders and helpers too, and give them a great time. Bless them in your name. And bless us too as we continue to worship in this space also. In your name, amen. Right, youngsters, go that way. Go have some fun. And I look forward to hearing all about it in half an hour plus. We're going to sing again. Bless the Lord, O my soul. Worship his holy name. Let's stand and let's sing together. Thank you, guys.
Time.
Take your seats. Andrew's now coming to share some prayers with us. Thank you, Andrew. Just give him a minute to just unplug himself and get out of the corner that he's in.
Good morning. Again, how are we doing? We're going to come before God in prayer now. I'm shamelessly using the notice sheet prayer list, Annalisa, so as a framework for some prayer, and also Tear Fund Prayer Magazine. This last week, they've been focusing on countries where Christians are persecuted. They've drawn the countries from the Open Doors top 50 list of persecuted Christians, and there are also countries where Tear Fund or their partners work. So I'm just going to name the countries, not going to go into too much detail, but just to give you an idea of all over the world where it's difficult to be a Christian. So let's pray together now. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this opportunity to meet together in your house, to praise you, to worship you as a body of believers, and we thank you too that we can pray to you and bring our praise and thanks, our requests before you now. And so, Lord, we pray for our church. We pray, Lord, as we go through an exciting time of renewal, as we study the book of Nehemiah together, we pray, Lord, that you would bless us and speak to our hearts and encourage us and show us the way forward. And so we pray for that study, the groups that are meeting and folk that are doing their individual studies. We pray, Lord, that you would bless that. We ask for prayer, Lord, this week for the activities that start again as the schools go back. Think of the schools, of the children, the teachers. We think of our activities here. And Lord, we just pray for your blessing upon them. Also, Lord, we think wider into Desborough, and we thank you for the work that goes on at the Revive Coffee Shop and Marlow House. Lord, those places that are seeking to help those who are less fortunate than ourselves, or, Lord, who need help in their difficulties. And, Lord, also to provide a space where people can meet and encourage one another. So, Lord, we thank you for those enterprises and for all who work there and volunteer. We thank you, Lord. Lord, we pray for our world. It's been a very difficult week. And Lord, we bring before you those parts of the world where war is raging. We think of Israel, Gaza, Palestine. Lord, we just don't know what to say, but we bring it to you. And we pray for peace, that peace would break out. And we mustn't forget, Lord, Ukraine as well, where the fighting continues. We pray once again for you to break into that situation with your peace. And Lord, we bring before you the countries around the world where governments and regimes seek to oppress your people. Lord, those places where it's tough to be a Christian, where they face intimidation or worse, imprisonment, even death. So, Lord, I just name these countries from the Tear Fund and Open Doors list before you. Lord, we pray for Syria, such a war-torn country itself. We pray for the Christians in Syria. We pray for Bangladesh, Lord, where the Christians are a very small minority. We, Lord, pray, Lord, that you would watch over them. We pray for Nigeria, where there's increasing persecution and attacks on Christians. For Iraq, Lord, where, again, there are few Christians, we pray that you would bless them. For Myanmar, Lord, where there continues to be persecution of minorities, Lord, we pray for them. For Niger, too, Lord, a Muslim country, a recent military coup, Lord, for your people there, we pray that you would bless them. And finally, Indonesia, Lord, where, again, there is discrimination and persecution. Lord, we lift up all of your people all over the world, that you would watch over them, embolden them to be your witnesses wherever they are. And so, Lord, we thank you for this time of prayer and pray that you would bless us as a people, that we would walk in your ways and be obedient to your commands. For we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.
It will come as no surprise to you that we are reading from Nehemiah this morning as we continue to work through the book Restore, Renew, Rebuild. And I do have a couple of these left if anyone hasn't got one yet and would like one. So come and see me afterwards. So we're still in Nehemiah chapter 1. We haven't quite tipped over into chapter 2 yet. And I'm just going to reread the prayer that Nehemiah prayed at the beginning of chapter 1. So I'm picking up at verse 5, reading through to verse 11 of the first chapter of Nehemiah, if you want to follow it on your devices or in your own Bibles. Then I said, O Lord, God of heaven, the great and awesome God who keeps his covenant of unfailing love with those who love him and obey his commands. Listen to my prayer. Look down and see me praying night and day for your people Israel. I confess that we've sinned against you. Yes, even my own family and I have sinned. We have sinned terribly by not obeying the commands, decrees, and regulations that you gave us through your servant Moses. Please remember what you told your servant Moses. If you are unfaithful to me, I will scatter you among the nations. But if you return to me and obey my commands and live by them, then even if you are exiled to the ends of the earth, I will bring you back to the place I have chosen for my name to be honored. The people you rescued by your great power and strong hand are your servants. O Lord, please hear my prayer. Listen to the prayers of those of us who delight in honoring you. Heavenly Father, I pray that as we just continue to look at Nehemiah and the things that he did, and as we continue to unpack this a little bit more this morning, and as we look at us, you, and vision, you'll be with us. Give us something fresh to ponder this week. Amen. So this morning, as we continue through looking at this study of the first three chapters of Nehemiah, we're going to begin to move from a place of restoring our hearts to thinking about renewing our focus. And so then the question for each of us is this: what is it that we are focusing on? The past couple of weeks has been all about looking inwards, getting our hearts right before God. And last week we're reminded of Nehemiah's cry to God, listen to my prayer, look down and see me praying night and day for your people Israel. I confess that we've sinned against you. Yes, even my own family and I have sinned. We've sinned terribly by not obeying the commands, decrees and regulations that you gave us through your servant Moses. And here Nehemiah confessing his sins and those of the people Israel, repenting and asking God for forgiveness. Chris Rogers, who you may have read already this week, uses the phrase identification repentance in the book, meaning simply a willingness to identify ourselves with the sins of a group of people which we ourselves may or may not be a part of. The reading material for this week gives some practical steps in how we as individuals can go about the process of confession and repentance, giving us some headings to think about to get started. Things like gender, truthfulness, selfishness, human sexuality, the outsider, church and denominations, climate and creation care, and injustice, to name just a few. The chapter in the book finishes then with some creative ways that we can move into prayer around those things that we have identified. So why is this important? Well, let me remind you of a few verses from the first letter of John, who writes this. This is the message we heard from Jesus and now declare to you. God is light, and there is no darkness in him at all. So we are lying if we say we have fellowship with God, but go on living in spiritual darkness. We are not practicing the truth. But if we are living in the light, as God is in the light, then we have fellowship with each other. And the blood of Jesus, his Son, cleanses us from all sin. If we claim we have no sin, we're only fooling ourselves and not living in the truth. But if we confess our sins to him, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all wickedness. or all unrighteousness. Some strong words. But words that I feel are important that we think about this morning. And so before I move on, I just felt it was important that we as a fellowship stop for a few minutes and make some space for God. And I would ask that we think on those verses that are on the screen and ask the Holy Spirit into this moment, shining a light on those things as a church that we need to confess before him. And let's be really honest and open with God as he speaks to us, recognizing that as churches in this nation and globally, we haven't always got things right and have at times acted sinfully against God and the people that are in our care. So I'm going to ask that we just take a few moments, just be silent, maybe read those words through again and ask the Holy Spirit to speak to you this morning.
Failing to describe your heart.
Heavenly Father, God of justice, mercy, and compassion, we come to you this day as sinners. We know that we are fallen people and confess before you that we've done wrong. For those we have hurt, we say sorry and ask that in your mercy you would forgive us. Bring healing to our churches, Lord. Help us to recognize here in this place where we've fallen short of the standard that you would have for us. I'm personally sorry when I have put myself before you. Heal wounds and set us on the right path. Help us to know and see your heart for those around us. We need you this morning, Jesus, to restore our hearts. Mould us into a compassionate people who earnestly seek after you and your truth, and stir us into action. Transform, revive, and heal us, Jesus. In your name I pray. Amen. And so, as we now begin to think about our focus, what are the things that we are focusing on? Or as Chris puts it, what is your big yes? And does this align with the plans of God? Does the vision that we have for ourselves and of the church match with God's vision? And we'll be encouraged as we work our way through the book to write our own personal vision statement. But that's an excitement that we're going to have in a future week. We see the prophecy of Jeremiah coming true as the exiles are returning to Judah. Here's a portion of what Jeremiah said. He says, "This is what the Lord says. You'll be in Babylon for 70 years, but then I will come and do for you all the good things I have promised, and I will bring you home again. For I know the plans I have for you, says the Lord. They are plans for good and not for disaster, to give you a future and a hope. In those days when you pray, I will listen. If you look for me wholeheartedly, you will find me. I will be found by you, says the Lord. I will end your captivity and restore your fortunes. I will gather you out of the nations where I sent you and will bring you home again to your own land. And we too are able, like so many Christians, to take hope in these words. God really has good plans for us to give us a future and a hope. And we can hold on to this as individuals and as a church. And you're going to be asked this week if you know what the church's vision is. Would anyone like to offer me an answer? What is our church's vision? It's a good job we're going to discuss it then, isn't it? It's all tied up. Let me give you a little snippet here. Let me give you a start of a 10. It's all tied up in our mission statement. Helping people of all ages to find and follow Jesus. And I'm surprised that none of you said that. Helping people of all ages to find and follow Jesus. And I'm going to make no apology this morning for saying it a third time. We are here as a fellowship to help people of all ages to find and to follow Jesus. Amen?
Amen.
And you're going to unpack that, I hope, a little bit more in the nurture groups this coming week. But asking yourselves how this is going. What are you and I going to do to make that statement a reality? And folks, I want to tell you this morning that Sundays is not it. As great as these services are, I don't believe that this is going to realize our full vision. You see, Sundays are the refilling point. They are the time we gather together to worship God and hear from Him. This is the time we get energized in order to do the work that goes on between Monday and Saturday. Mission really starts when we leave this building. It's out there and not in here where we are going to encounter the most people who need to hear about the love of Jesus. And what about you and I? Do you have a vision for your life? What are your strengths? Do you have a hope and a dream for your future? What are your core values? And these are all things we're going to be exploring. And one place you and I can grow in your Christian walk is in a small nurture group. Now, I know there has been some negativity in the switch from the labelling of home groups to nurture groups. But here's the thing. It doesn't matter if you have been on your Christian walk for 5 minutes or for 50 years, God has still something new He wants to share with you. And we all need nurturing and encouraging in our faith, and this shouldn't stop and won't stop until God calls us home to be with Him. Amen? And let me say this. Your involvement in a small group should excite you as much, if not more, than being here on a Sunday. These groups give you an opportunity to grow together in fellowship with one another, as well as deepen your relationship with Jesus as you worship, delve into His Word, and discover ways to witness one to another and to those in your neighbourhoods. So I would encourage you this morning, I would implore you this morning, that if you are not part of a small group, then you need to be. And I believe that small nurture groups are a part and are going to be a big part of the unfolding vision here at Desborough Baptist Church. Now, wouldn't it be great if everyone here had something to share back on a Sunday as to how God had broken through in an amazing way as you met together in a small group during the week? Now, I hope and trust and pray and know that those of you that are part of a small group have really been encouraged and excited as you've been looking at this material and as you've spent time in the past looking at other material. And we are going to continue our nurture groups as we move forward, and I would really pray that you will become part of one. It is going to be exciting as we see what God is going to do here in this fellowship. And nurture groups are going to be a part of that process. Having said all that, and with all that in mind, I'm going to finish this morning with some words from Hebrews chapter 10. And I'm not going to attempt to unpack them, but trust that the Holy Spirit speaks through them into our lives. Let me pray before I read. Lord Jesus, we are told that your word is living and active, sharper than any double-edged sword. And I pray you will make it so this morning. And as I read your word, please allow them to penetrate into our very being and place them on every heart here and online that is listening to your word this morning. Allow us to be receptive vessels and breathe your Holy Spirit into us all, making your word come alive as we hear it. Give us understanding and conviction, I pray, in your name. Amen. Here are the words, and they say three specific things. Let us hold tightly without wavering to the hope we affirm, for God can be trusted to keep his promise. Amen. Let us think of ways to motivate one another to acts of love and good works. And let us not neglect our meeting together, as some people do, but encourage one another, especially now that the day of his return is drawing near. Have you got it? Let us hold tightly, without wavering, to the hope that we affirm. For God is trusted to keep his promise. Let us think of ways to motivate one another to acts of love and good works. And let us not neglect our meeting together. Amen. I'm going to ask the group to come back up, and we're going to finish this morning. By singing this. Jesus is King, and I will extol him. Give him the glory and honor his name. He reigns on high, enthroned in the heavens, word of the Father, exalted for us. Let's stand and let's sing this together as we finish. And transform you. God's Spirit flow and empower you, now and always. Amen.